Invite you to take your Bibles tonight, if you would, to Joshua chapter 13. We finished up a couple weeks ago with verse 1, but I want to start there tonight as we start chapter 13, and we'll hopefully finish all of 13. We won't read it all tonight because a lot of it is a description of how the land was divided up on the east side of Jordan that Moses did for the 2.5 tribes that got their inheritance there. But we'll read several verses, and I want to make share with you several truths tonight. It says in chapter 13 of Joshua, verse 1, "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." Just remind you that Joshua and Caleb were the two oldest people that were alive at that point. And like we talked about a couple weeks ago, if you add up, you know, how old they were before they started the wilderness wandering, they were at least in their late 60s, if not in their 70s or 80s. And so they were the two senior statesmen of the whole nation of Israel. And as we talked about a couple weeks ago, God reminded Joshua that he was old and stricken in years. There's a verse in Hosea chapter 7, verse 9 that says, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. Some of us are old and don't know it. And we have to be reminded. And the psalmist encourages us. He says, number your days. Now, in my case, I'll just testify myself tonight, I have more days behind me than I probably do ahead of me. So what I'm going to do for the Lord, I need to get at. I need to get busy doing it. I can't put it off to tomorrow because I got less tomorrows in my life than I ever have. And so I need to get at what God wants me to do. In Joshua's case, he says, there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Now, in the next few verses, and we won't take the time to read them, you can read them at your leisure, but in the next four or five verses, God lists the lands that are yet to be taken, again, in the land of Canaan. And they're spread out. They're not all in one place. There's some land toward the south, the country of the Philistines, and he mentions the five lords of the lands of the Philistines that were each headed by a lord. Land toward the Egypt, so toward the south. There's some land to the west. That would be the land beside the Sidonians that are mentioned in those verses. Some toward the east, toward Lebanon. Some toward the north, the entering in of Hamath. And what he's saying to Joshua is, now look, there's more to be done, but you're old and stricken in years, and so you cannot lead the nation of Israel in taking the rest of this land. You don't have enough time left. If it was all together in one place, you would have enough time, but it's not all in one place. It's all spread out. And so what you need to do before your time is up is to divide it by lot unto the tribes. And he says there in verse 6, look at the end of verse 6. He says, "And all the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel, only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee." He's saying, you've been a good general. You've fought a good fight, but you're old now. And so the last thing that I want you to do is I want you to divide up the land among the tribes, and then there's still land to take, but the people will have to do it. And again, get at it quickly. Don't wait. Go ahead and make that division, make the assignment quickly. And so Joshua carries that message to the people, and as he does, I think he's saying several things. He's saying, first of all, God's not done blessing yet. Yes, we've taken this land, and it's rich, and we have cities we didn't build, and we're going to eat from orchards we didn't plant and drink from wells we didn't dig. But God's not done yet. You've seen what he's done in the past. Well, there's some more to do. And I think he's reminding them also, hey, now the rest of this land, don't make any treaties or pacts with the people that are there. Because, you know, we did that one time, and the rest of the land is ours. So no treaties, no pacts, no leagues, drive out all the people. And then what he was saying is, the war's not over yet. You can't quit until it's done. You can't set and expect God to bless. There's more battles to fight. Now, God promised, he says, in that last part of verse 6, them will I drive out. God says, I'm going to do what I have done in the past. I am going to drive out the rest of the people in the rest of the land that needs to be taken. But notice the whole promise. He says, Will I drive out them? Here's the rest of the promise. From before the children of Israel. I will drive them out before you. And what that verse is saying is, as you go to fight them, as you make war against them, as you go into their cities against their armies, I will drive them out before you as you go. Now, if you don't go, God says, don't expect me to keep my promise. If you're going to sit back and think that I'm just going to give it to you, you're going to be disappointed. But if you go, I'll bless like I have before, and I will drive them out before you. You know, that promise that God gave to them is the same kind of promise that he makes to us. There's a lot of promises that we can claim in this book, but most of the promises depend on us doing something. He says, I'll tread your enemies under your feet, but you need to resist. You need to resist them. I will be with you, but you need to go. I think about that promise in Psalm 126, verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, will doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing in sheaves with him. God will keep that promise, but if we don't go, we don't get to claim what God has promised. And so he said, Joshua, tell the people, I will continue to do what I have done in the past. I will drive out that people, but only before the Israelites as they go into battle and into war. Now, look at verse 7. Now, therefore, divide this land for an inheritance unto the 9 tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh. 9 tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh. And again, I'll just remind you the last part of verse 6, divide it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance. Okay, I want you to know several things from the last part of verse 6 and the first part of verse 7. The land was to be divided. Okay, and it was to be divided by tribe, which means the tribes were to be divided. Up until this point, they lived together. All 13 tribes. Say, preacher, there was only 12 tribes. Well, if you count the two sons of Jacob, Manasseh and Ephraim, and then include the tribe of Levi, which is not going to get an inheritance of land. They'll get some cities. There's really 13 as you count them. But they were going to be divided. Up until this point, they had lived together. And God said, nope, we're going to divide the land by tribe, and the tribes are going to be divided. Each tribe is going to have its own possession. And notice, in both verses, it uses the word inheritance. Inheritance. Now, as we think about that, we might think kind of strange that God has used that. Because, an inheritance is usually something given to you by your parents or your grandparents. And in most cases, now it's not true in all cases, but in most cases, you get it just because you're related. I know some people set up their wills so their kids have to, you know, maybe graduate from college before they get this, or, you know, they can only use the money to buy a house, so if they don't buy a house, they don't get the money. But in most cases, an inheritance is just given without anything, you know, without any conditions. Now, the land was promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. They did not possess it. And so Jacob, he possessed none of the land of Canaan, so he could not will it to his children or to his descendants. And this generation that was alive, I mean, they had to fight for it. Again, God drove out the enemy, but they had to go into battle. They had to fight for it. And yet, it was an inheritance from God. Because he had, again, it was an inheritance of a promise, an inheritance of a promise kept to this generation, and the land would be passed from this generation to the succeeding generations as an inheritance as we think about it. And then I want you to notice that it was divided by lot. Divided by lot. They cast lots for it. I think Joshua was a wise man. I think he was a just man. I think he was a good man. But God did not want him to divide up the land exactly like Moses did on the east side of Jordan. And we'll talk about it in a minute, but Moses didn't use lots to divide the land to the 2.5 tribes that stayed on the east of Jordan. Moses just with God's leadership, but he said, hey, you guys take this, and you guys take this, and you guys take this. And yet God told Joshua, I don't want you to do it that way. I want you to do it by lot. I want you to oversee it. I want you to make sure it's done fairly, but I don't want you to make the decision yourself. I want you to leave it up to me. Because God will control the lots. And I don't know what they did, if they picked straws or how they did. Some people think they threw dice. I don't know. But God oversaw it. And again, I just want to tell you tonight, God has a will for where we live. You ever stop and think about that? God has a will for where we live, the property that we own. He doesn't show us by lot, but He will reveal His will if we ask Him, if we seek Him. He'll tell us where He wants us to be. Now, verses 8 through 13, and then verses 15 through 32, go back and give an account of how Moses divided up the land east of the Jordan River. 2.5 tribes, tribe of Reuben, tribe of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And you remember, this land was the land that belonged to King Sihon and King Og, O-G. And the taking of that land is described in Numbers chapter 21. And when these 2.5 tribes saw the land, the Bible says, and this is in Numbers 32, that they said, this land's good for cattle. We have a lot of cattle. And so they went to Moses and said, Moses, we'd like this land. We'd like the land right here, east of Jordan River. We have a lot of cattle. This land's good for cattle. Could we have it? And you remember the story, Moses was a little upset at first. He said, no. If I give this land, you guys stay over here, you'll discourage the other 9.5 tribes from crossing the Jordan River and going in and taking the promised land that I've given. You'll be in the discouragement to them, just like the spies were. They came back and talked about the giants. And the leaders of these 2.5 tribes said, well, no. Well, here's what we'll do. We'll leave our families here and our possessions here, but we that are men of war will go with the armies, and we'll go into the land of Canaan, and we will fight, and we will not return to this land until our brethren have their inheritance. And Moses says, okay, if you will do that, I will give you this land. And in those verses, again, 8 through 13 and verses 15 through 32 is the description, the borders of the land that Moses gave those 2.5 tribes. And so that's why there's only 9.5 that God told Joshua to divide the land by. And he said to divide it by lot. Now, I was thinking about that. Now, why would he just have Moses divide this land over here without, you know, with just doing it himself, and why would he have Joshua to do it by lot? And here's what I thought about. Moses was of the tribe of Levi. They were not going to get a portion of land. They were going to get cities, but there's no land ascribed to the tribe of Levi. And we'll talk about their inheritance in just a second. So Moses had no stake in it. Nobody could look at Moses and say, oh, well, you gave the tribe of Levi an unfair advantage because that's your tribe. Because the tribe of Levi was getting no land. Joshua was from the tribe of Ephraim. They were going to get some possession in the land of Canaan. And so to make it all fair, so nobody could say, well, Joshua, you gave your tribe an unfair advantage. God said, no, do it by lot. Leave it up to me. I'll control the lot, and people will know that they got the land that I wanted them to have. Now, twice in this chapter, in chapter 13, in verse 14 and in verse 33, it makes the statement that the tribe of Levi is getting no inheritance. Let me just read those two verses. In verse 14, only unto the tribe of Levi he gave none inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance, as he said unto them. And in verse 33, but unto the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not any inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he said unto them. And so, no inheritance for the tribe of Levi. It says in verse 14, the sacrifices of the Lord God, the sacrifices that they offered to God, you remember, a portion of those sacrifices were given to the Levites. They would take a portion of the meal, and they would take a part of the animal, and they would burn it on the altar. But some of that, the meal and some of the animals were given as an inheritance to the Levites. I mean, it was what they ate. It was what they were provided for their food. And then in verse 33, it just says, no inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance. And what God was saying to the Levites is, I'll take care of you. I'll provide for you. You don't need a piece of land. I will take care of you myself. I will provide. I will be your inheritance. And I was thinking, if we could today just get that truth embedded in our hearts and our minds, that our provision for today and our hope for tomorrow is not determined by what we have. It's not determined by what we own. It's not determined by the deeds for our property or for the bank accounts that we have or the possessions that we have. Our provision for today and our hope for tomorrow comes from the Lord God of Israel. And I can't think of a better inheritance that we as parents and grandparents can leave to our children and to our grandchildren than faith in that Lord God of Israel, that he will provide our every need. Not a greater inheritance. And I know people, you know, they have desires. They want to leave a lot to their children. Not me. I want to spend my kids' inheritance. You know, you see those bumper stickers? I'm spending my kids' inheritance. But look, if there's one thing I do want to leave to my children and to my grandchildren, I want them to know that they can depend on God to take care of them. They can depend on God to meet their needs. And they just need to put their faith in the Lord God of Israel. So, you can read the rest of the chapter. A lot of descriptions as to how Moses divided up the land. But I was thinking, Lydia, as you were singing that song, you said something about, Lord, don't put me where you want me. And that's what he'll do if we seek his will. Father, we do thank you for tonight. Thank you for each one that's here. Thank you for this word. And I pray that the truth from this chapter you put into our hearts and minds, and it would impact our lives. Dismiss us now with your blessings. Bring us back again on Sunday. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.